This week on Watcher.
And now we can just list things.
I don't know.
And be like comics, TVs, TV comics.
Someone wearing pants.
Watcher, your weekly dose of all things pop culture. I'm Nath.
I'm Mike.
And our special guest is Bruce Willis stand-in, Nick. Welcome, Nick.
I'm smiling in a Bruce Willis way, but it's not working.
Oh, we saw it here. It's all good.
Yeah, it is all good. So yes, we hope you enjoyed last week's Just the Two of Us episode, and you had the lights down low, and...
Eating donuts.
It was really cozy listening to you guys, and I felt like I was intruding. So when you invited me along today, I was like, I don't know. It sounded kind of, you know.
It is like listening to Cameron Datto.
It was just like Cameron Datto talking to Stephen Baldwin.
What a combo.
Which Baldwin's that?
He's the famous one.
So they're sitting there going, oh, I hate my brother. I really hate my brother.
So. Yeah. The one in rehab.
It's one of those families where it doesn't matter who leaves the room, they all start bad-mouthing him. Same every time.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Poor Lucky Dado.
I was talking about the Baldwins, but yeah, they don't like Lucky Dado either.
No, they're not.
Poor Lucky. What's he done?
I don't know. Just
nothing.
Fallen on some bad Lucky. Sorry.
Let's get on to the news.
That was what's happened.
Okay, let's talk about... last week, unfortunately, we talked about the sad passing of Leonard Nimoy.
Yep.
This week, we're talking about the sad passing of Nick. You don't watch The Simpsons, so you're out. as he's left the room. The sad passing of Sam Simon, who was co-creator of The Simpsons and also a philanthropist.
That's disgusting.
He was. But he also was writer for Taxi and a whole bunch of other sitcoms before he was the co-creator of Simpsons. Funny story, well, it's not a funny story, but contentious story is that he was billed as an executive producer for quite a while before he finally was classified as a co-creator of The Simpsons. So he left it in 93. Now, if you remember, 93 was kind of when The Simpsons started to drop down, go downhill a little bit.
That's season 4.
It was after that season. It would have been...
Because I think it started 89.
89. Okay, so maybe we give two more seasons, and then, you know, after that drop down.
So are you trying to say there's a connection?
There could very well be a connection, but sad passing from colon cancer, but his memory will live on through his foundation, so which is helping animals, and he had millions of dollars from The Simpsons, and all that money went to all those charities through his foundation. So good cause anyway, regardless. Great news for those who wanting, Flynn, Sam and Cora back on the grid. Tron 3 is on its way. Now, Nick, how do you feel about that?
I have mixed feelings about Tron.
Yeah.
I remember when...
The original Tron or Tron 2?
Well, I was going to say, Tron as a...
Tron
as
Legacy.
A genre.
Oh, okay.
Is it a genre? It's not, isn't it?
It's a genre.
It's a franchise. Let's be serious.
It's the Tronicles.
What? Tronicles of Flynn.
Behind that. When the third one comes out, will be.
So what was the second one called? Was that Tron Legacy?
Legacy.
Right. When that came out, I remember rewatching the original Tron as a sort of a lead-up, you know, sort of a previously on Tron kind of experience. And I remember watching it going, wow, this is amazing for some very strange reasons. It's like, you know, it's good. What they did for the time was fantastic, using the different... shooting methods to make all the stripes glow and everything. It looks great. And then you watch
Stack Hats. They're Stack Hats.
I wasn't going to mention them, but yeah, they use them too.
Yeah. Molly Meldrum is in there somewhere, I'm sure.
He's always in there somewhere. But then you go from watching that and reliving these memories and going, wow, Disney used to make great films, because they don't anymore. And then you go to Tron Legacy and you're like, wow, what happened to these people? It's all high tech and super looking, and the scariest bit is Flynn's face. Like,
That is awful.
That was terrifying.
That was awful.
I don't know what happened to him. It wasn't the stripes, it wasn't the lighting or a Stack Hat. He just looked like a monster.
He really did. I don't know what happened there.
So are they going to make him a monster in the third one again?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm hoping that, that all things, you know, all things combined will have a decent... but, you know, if you think about Tron Legacy finished where they'd left the grid.
Yes.
So Korra was...
She was a person.
She's in the real world.
She's a real person for the first time.
Yeah. Like Pinocchio, but different.
She left the Matrix. So.
Neo.
Wow.
I was about to say, what are they going to call it as well? Because, you know, you can't call it Tron Rebooted or Tron Revolutions.
No.
Tron again.
Tron and on and on.
Tron and on.
Wow. That's amazing. So that's some good news there. That starts filming, I think it's August, September of this year in Vancouver. So that good on you, Disney. Well done. Thanks for fulfilling the Tronicles.
The Tronicles.
Yeah. Pay a penny.
They have to pay you guys for that one.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Batman issue 41.
If we must.
Should we talk about the front cover of Batman issue 41?
Mechanical Bat. Have you seen this?
I love Batman. I'm always happy to talk about Batman, but I'm not sure about Mechanical Batman. Have you guys ever seen The Tick?
Yes.
He looks like Arthur as a robot. So he looks like he's got bunny ears.
And a smoking gun to boot.
Yes. Yeah, what's going on there? Why has he got a gun and why is he in armor? Is he like half man, half machine?
Is it Bruce?
Well, it's RoboCop. I don't think it is. I don't think it is. Well, we got a couple of suggestions on what he's like.
He's a hood ornament.
Well,
come to life.
What was
the red hood ornament?
Frank from Donnie Darko was one of the suggestions.
Right.
Yeah. Chappie.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I can accept Chappie. And also from the one of the leads from Appleseed was also one of the other ones. Berius was his name, and he's kind of a mech rabbit looking.
What's his name?
Barius.
Should be Harius.
Barius. So I'm just showing Nick a picture. So
and I'm looking at the picture.
Barius.
There's a resemblance. Okay. He looks like a robotic rabbit.
He does.
We'll just have to see. Because, I mean, look, I know Snyder's been saying how, you know, it's a really different story you wanted to do. It's crazy. It's out there.
It's. I think it's squashed my idea that he was going to work for Court of Owls, which is unfortunate. I would like to see that.
There's been hints that's been coming.
We'll
have to see.
Who knows? Look, it was... I feel like a negative guy today. By the way, I am looking forward to Tron, just before we... still looking forward to Tron. I'm a big Batman fan. I like Batman as Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
I was not happy when it wasn't Bruce, unless it was Dick Grayson, in which case I'm pretty happy still.
Because as Bats wasn't a fan.
As Bats was a mistake. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering whether, and I hope they don't, so I want to be proven wrong, but I wonder whether this is one of those storylines where, you know, he's like... He's a robot that Bruce built to replace me in case things went wrong, and he's struck by lightning, Johnny Five style, and now he's out there doing his own thing. And I went, oh, that could be an idea. And I went, that's exactly what they do with Talon. Let's not do that.
Damn it. So it could have been like Bat Circuit.
Exactly.
Wow. Input.
Wow.
Brucey Five is alive.
Wow. I wish I'd never brought this up.
It was Brucey, she said.
Steve Gutenberg is going to play Alfred. It's going to be awesome. No, it's not going to be awesome.
Minus a hand.
Yeah. Steve Gutenberg, one hand.
How do you feel that that's going to affect Alfred's ability to serve?
You know how Zoolander is not an ambi-turner? He can only go one way. Same with Alfred.
He can only serve with one hand.
Exactly. Anyway. If you're standing on the wrong side of him, he's just going to be depressed. It's going to be like, Troy's over here. You know how it works. Just walk around the back.
Help yourself to some hors d'oeuvres.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Good hands. Now, very quickly, I just want to say that the Ghostbuster board game was backed, well and truly backed. The original total was 250,000.
Thanks to us.
I can kick it out.
Three of us.
We put in all together, just collected our pennies.
That's right. And we managed to get 3 copies of the game for $1.5 million.
Good investment, yeah. I'd say.
Best game ever. What you hope it is, anyway.
Well, look, all the add-ons that they had, I mean, you got pretty much all the Ghostbusters that have been in the comic series. You got, you know, Walter Peck, which is just a great addition right there. And all the different, I mean, ghosts as well. I mean, even an appearance from the toilet ghosts from the...
Yeah, it should be pointed out, this isn't just Ghostbusters, the movie characters. They include a lot of characters from the comics, yeah, yeah, and the cartoons.
Yeah.
Mm. Even the video games.
From the real Ghostbusters. So
it's very, very cool.
There's some awesome characters in there, like you're saying. You've got the guys from the film. You've got Walter Peck, who everyone must remember. You cannot know Ghostbusters. Not really.
Well, you'd know him quite well out of the Die Hard films.
Yes. Wait, no. But they also gave us the 4 of the new Ghostbuster characters. Mm, so Janine
and the girls from the comic.
The Chevy Chase lookalike.
The Chevy Chase lookalike. The
Alexander.
Ryan Alexander. Yes. Yeah. He wears a baseball cap and doesn't look like... Yeah, okay, he's Chevy Chase.
He doesn't play by the rules.
He's Fletch with a proton pack. Come
he
on.
He really is. Yeah. It is Fletch. So it is. You heard
even,
it
here. Even third. Mannerism. You heard it here third.
And the other two characters were Melanie Ortiz and...
Correct.
Kelly... Clarkson. Brock.
No.
Kelly Brock, who's in the bookstore.
Sure. I don't know. I just made up her name. I've no idea what it
Kelly
is.
Brock. Isn't she in... Oh, no. That was LeBrock. She was in Witness, wasn't she?
Don't know.
Kelly or Brock.
I feel terrible for not knowing her. Her first name's probably Kelly, though, and she has a cat.
Right. Wow.
That's why I'm here, because I've got half the facts.
Love those half the facts.
Well, is there any more news for anyone else? Any more news?
I think that's... all the news that is...
All the news we need.
It's good news. Good night.
Excellent. Well, let's move on to what, shall we?
Let's move on to a watcher watching. Nick, what have you been watching?
Shit. I was thinking about this on the way over, because I knew the kind of things you guys talk about. Yeah. I've listened to an episode.
Excellent, thanks.
Repeatedly.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
You're welcome. I'm your one subscriber.
So
your mum.
It's usually Mike or I plus some other person. So thank you for listening.
You're welcome. So yeah.
It's a long time since we had the phrase "your mum."
So the problem is, you guys have picked the week when all the TV shows I watch are on hiatus.
They are.
And I was like, of all the weeks, next week I'd have so much to tell you. But right now, I'm like, the trailer for Flash. It looks awesome. So yes, I rewatched that 3 or 4 times. Mm. I haven't seen a trailer for Arrow, but it'd be good, I'm pretty sure. Supernatural. I'm actually watching season 7 of Supernatural again in its, you know, absence. Mm. Agent Carter. I have watched Agent Carter.
Are you up to date?
I caught up on that. Yeah. And that was fantastic. I kind of felt like writing a letter to Marvel, because I'm old now. I'm like, dear Marvel, please make more Agent Carter. It's much better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I did watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week.
And?
Agent Carter is a lot better.
That
was coming, wasn't it? Well, everyone's familiar with where Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. left off. They opened Mike the...
Can I
give you spoilers?
Spoiler alert! Do it.
Yeah, see?
I'll forget what.
So
hour later.
They had this paperweight of Doom. And it's been the thing for the whole season. Well, come on. It's this kind of funny looking thing. It's almost like a Logie if a Logie got frozen. And, you know,
awesome.
Yeah, it's terrible.
All melted,
yeah.
Burn Newton comes
anyway,
after
last episode, last scene, it opens up and inside it has crystals.
Yeah.
And so if you know your Marvel, you know exactly what kind of crystals we're going towards. They're going towards...
Ooh.
Yeah, ooh, crystals. No, they're Terrigen crystals. And so they release the Terrigen mists. And the Terrigen mist is what is used to activate the superpowers of the Inhumans.
Mm. Yes, because one has become an Inhuman.
One has become an Inhuman.
That sounded very British. Ah, one has become an Inhuman.
The Queen of England is an Inhuman. Yeah,
that's right, exactly on right. Downton Abbey, one is going to become Inhuman.
If they do that, though, they've got to get Richard E. Grant. He'd be the best Inhuman. He'd just be this sneering, upper-class British Inhuman.
Funnily enough, also in a Bruce Willis film.
Yes!
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's an Hulk. Of course!
Yes.
Oh,
one of
my favourites.
One of the best.
Last time I watched that, I was eating pizza. But anyway, so the Terrigen mists have triggered Inhuman abilities. That sounds really bad when you put it like that, but they're good, apparently. And the whole episode was about this person with Inhuman abilities, and everyone like, we don't know what's going on. What is going on? But they're American, so they don't sound like that.
Right.
Like, what's going on? I can't do the American accent. and it was boring. That was the real problem. Like, you know,
no one knew what was
coming
going
back
on.
To it, I was like, this is just dull. I don't really care. You've got one person in a glass box, you've got another person without eyes just doing things. I wish that was a joke. It's true, though.
It's true.
And Agent Coulson has reverted to his single expression kind of thing, which was a real shame. But just on that fact, have you guys seen Galaxy Quest?
Yes.
Do you remember the aliens?
Yes.
And I can't remember the name of the... Mathazar, I think it is. He's the leader of the aliens. They speak like this with their voices.
Yeah.
He looks like Agent Coulson. So every time Agent Coulson stands there smiling, I expect him to start saying things like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. One day it might happen.
It may just happen.
That'd be a hell of a crossover.
Agents of Galaxy.
Sam Rockwell will be in it and he'll start dancing in no apparent moment.
It'd be awesome. Is he Justin Hammer or is he the unnamed security chief? Who knows? His name is Rock Ingersoll, because someone's going to correct you on that one if we didn't say it. His name is Rock Ingersoll in Galaxy Quest.
Okay, good. Thank you.
He got a name in the final credits.
Does that work?
I'm the only one that watched it.
He did too.
It was the gag, because, you know, he was always like, I'm going to die. I don't even have a name.
Rock.
And they gave him a name.
And they gave him a name.
It's a beautiful thing.
It was a happy story.
What was a happy story?
It's a lot better than your other negative ones tonight.
So that's all I've been watching is, I spent the whole weekend watching Ben Stiller films, which was... Nice timing, because then he turned up at the fashion show.
How did you feel about that? Were you excited?
Which bit? Watching Ben Stiller all weekend or seeing him at the fashion show?
Seeing him at the fashion show.
It was awesome.
It was great.
Ben Stiller is a guy who I'm always like, I don't know. It's a Ben Stiller film. Now I watch it, I'm like, I like Ben Stiller films. And he's always fun. Even if he's neurotic Ben Stiller, he's fun. And so when they had that thing and he came out and he grabbed the camera and he's all blue stealing, I was like, I'm happy.
That was cool.
Do it. Zoolander 2, 3, and 4.
I do look forward to it. I mean, I was saying this the other night that I hadn't actually seen Zoolander in its entirety in one sitting. I've seen the entire film in three sittings. I've seen like the first hour, then I've seen the last hour.
You've seen Zoolander and then Der.
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
And the last, the Der, not that great. Okay. But the Zoo was fantastic.
Did you buy the Zoo?
I didn't buy the Zoo, but I did, you know, I did get quite a bit of time out of the Zoo. One of them thought I belonged in the Zoo.
All right.
Dirtle.
But yes, Zoolander, more of
him. Okay.
So that's all I'm watching.
Zoolander 2. Mike?
I did watch something over the weekend. I did, what's it called?
TV?
No, it was a film. What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, yes.
The New Zealand film.
From the guys that did Fly the Conchords. Yes.
Very good, very funny, very dark humour.
Four vampires that live together.
Yeah.
It's got Rhys Darby, doesn't it?
Yes, it's one of the werewolves, and they're not swearwolves.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's four. It's four.
It is four.
Yes,
yeah.
that live together from different eras.
Briefly
of vampire.
Five, but yes, four maybe.
That's right.
Yeah. Very but really a lot of fun, and I recommend it.
What do you think of the humor? At times I found it was a little bit dry. Like I appreciate it and I got it, but. At times, I thought...
Was that like when the guy ate a chip and then he was throwing up blood for about half an hour?
Yeah.
He's like, I wouldn't eat that if I were you. Why not? And then he's spewing up blood.
Yeah.
Dry. Real dry.
Real dry.
That's a good film. It's worth checking out. So unfortunately, it didn't do very well.
Which is a shame, but I want to see... I want the Concords to return. I love their work.
Yes.
More. Much like the plane, they should also return.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Why not?
I think the company's done.
Oh.
I think the world's moved on.
I think I really think it has. Nobody wants.
Why couldn't I fly the Concorde?
Nobody wants a bent nose. Not even Gonzo. All right.
Oh, that's a big claim.
It is.
Can you back that one up?
Well, Muppets. What was the one with Gonzo?
There was one.
He didn't want a bent nose, didn't
he? Muppets in space. He didn't want to be different.
That's right.
Mm.
And then he ended with like other Muppets from space and. I don't remember the rest.
That's the one you really want to forget.
I think so. I'm pretty happy not remembering
that's
the rest
like,
of that.
That's, you know, that film is like episode one of Star Wars explaining midichlorians. We didn't really need to know.
If you slow that scene down and go frame by frame, you can see the bit where Liam Neeson regrets his decision.
It's actually in the extras in later on, isn't it?
Oh, I'm sure of it.
I'm sure it's slowed down.
Lucas won't let me forget.
All right, let's move on to what I've been watching. I've been watching Powers, the first episode of the Powers series from PlayStation was released this week.
And who would have thought PlayStation beginning the television?
Wow.
Well, ironically, they always have, but...
Mm. Thank you. But what is Powers, Nath?
Okay, so Powers is a...
Have you read the comic?
You haven't read the comic?
No.
Why?
Wow, comic.
Sparky is smacky, silly for that. Well,
I said I'd say something inflammatory just to upset Sparky, so yeah, there it was.
What, the editor-in-chief of FEC?
Yeah, and FEC was recently hit by ISIS.
Yes.
Was it really
terrible?
Yeah.
All fixed up, but yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
So.
That's not good. So Powers is a division of the police department. It's sort of set in a, it's sort of set in our time. Probably a different universe where heroes and villains exist, superheroes and supervillains exist, and there is a division called the Powers Division, which deals solely with those.
It'd be like Law and Order, Powers Edition.
We don't see any Wait law courts.
It. I think it'll actually happen.
In New York City, there are two sides for every conflict: the heroes and the villains.
These are their stories.
These are their stories.
Dun, dun. No, it's kind of more heroic rather than the
dun, dun. Not like that, but
good.
It really isn't. But it's got, I'm trying to remember his name. I've had to resort to IMDb because I can never pronounce his name. It's Sholto Copley, who is...
I remember him from that fantastic film he did.
The A-Team.
Yes! I was going to say that. District 9.
District 9, The A-Team.
Yes.
Yeah, so he plays Powers. Probably not my choice of person for Powers.
I must admit, when I first saw his, I was like, okay.
But
see what he's like.
So he was different in the comic.
He's kind of
very heroic looking.
He's very clean cut. Well, he actually plays
big jaw, almost like Batman animated. Really, when you think about it.
Yes, yeah, very much, like very much.
I read that.
See,
yeah,
I thought you'd get that.
But he plays Christian Walker. He was originally a power. So anybody who has superpowers is classified as a power, and he lost his powers, and now he's the head of the Powers Division because he understands how everything works in that world.
There's a shirt and top.
It's a bit like Watchmen meets Heroes, if that's probably the best way to describe it.
Slash Law and Order.
No. Dun-dun. Slash Law and Order. Maybe
you really don't want that
maybe,
Law and Order connection,
maybe,
do you?
Maybe NYPD Blue. Super Wits. Maybe. I don't know. But maybe that's a character coming late,
Awesome.
And his partner dies and he gets a new partner and it's all a bit unsettled. And at the same time, there is a new drug which is going around called Sway. And what Sway does is gives people powers for a short period of time and gives people with powers additional powers, but also Swayed? Kills them. Sway.
Okay.
S-W-A-Y.
Sway was a power. That was mainly on the dance floor.
really, blue Sway.
See, look, I was thinking you take the pill and you turn to Michael Bublé for 24 hours. I prefer your version.
Yeah, I prefer neither. So Powers, first episode. It's because it's done through PlayStation, it's no holds barred. It's pretty gritty. Violence is pretty key. Effects are pretty good. The best way to describe it is Watchmen meets Heroes, or it's Heroes on Sway, which is the drug. So
it's lots of disco.
SVU. Great. So I've been watching that. One of the other ones I've been watching, I continue to keep up with Better Call Saul, which is fantastic.
Haven't watched any yet, but I am saving money
for
Christmas.
Fantastic. So this episode, we got to see pretty much a full episode of Mike. Sort of what led him to come to New Mexico.
Are you familiar with it, Nick?
I'm familiar with it. I've watched Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
It's that show, right?
Yeah, it's that show.
Yeah, I've watched the first episodes of Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
And I was impressed at how slow it is.
Right.
I mean that honestly. Yeah. It's a real slow burner of a show. Like, you have a scene where he'll be sitting in an armchair or something and there'll be someone in the background making their way towards him. And it's agonizingly slow, but it's intentional because this poor guy, Jimmy McGill.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just had, shocking luck. He's trying to be a good guy. It's just not working out. Kind of parallels Breaking Bad in that respect.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen these ones though. This is news.
Did you know that he, before he was an actor, he was actually a writer for SNL. He wrote for SNL for 2 years.
I thought you were going to say before he was an actor, he was a lawyer and a really bad one.
No. He was actually a writer for SNL.
He was in the Ben Stiller Show.
He was
part of the guys behind Mr. Show.
Yes. There's the Breakfast Boys, I think, was another one.
Yeah. Breakfast Club.
No, Breakfast Club. It was a little bit earlier for his
But don't you forget about it.
I will not forget that.
Yeah, okay. Right. So the top three that I've really enjoyed this week is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles animated.
We'll catch up on that.
We saw Rocksteady and Bebop.
Nice.
For the entire episode. It's the first episode where they're fully featured. And Helix, which is in the second season, which I'm thoroughly loving, and also 12 Monkeys, the TV series, which is amazing. So very different from the movie, but at the same time, very, very good.
I tuned out when I found out it was not Bruce Willis.
I don't think he may make a cameo. There's talk that he may make a cameo. An older cameo of himself. Sometimes he does look like an old Camry, depending on the mood.
Well, panel beaten.
Not, I was thinking about the interior, but okay. But okay, so that's pretty much what you're watching. Let's move on to what you're reading.
I am currently reading a book that you will not expect ever.
Batman.
No, actually. I'm up to date with Grayson. I'm up to date with most of those. I'm reading John Carpenter's Asylum.
Oh.
Because, as with most things in life, if you put the words John Carpenter's before them, I will buy it and read it, listen to it, or watch it.
Yeah.
It's because Kurt Russell's usually involved.
Usually, yeah. Yeah. That helps a lot. But, this is a book he's put together with a couple of other collaborators, people he worked with a number of times. In fact, one's Sandy King, who is the producer of many of his films. And the other one is Thomas Ian Griffith, who, if I remember correctly, was the vampire Valak in John Carpenter's Vampires. So, you know, it's a close-knit group.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell probably looked over the script and said, like Joss Whedon's, pretty good.
Just a bit like Joss Whedon's close-knit group.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't like him so much.
Okay, right.
They're
okay.
All small.
Oh!
Hit by the smuggly stick.
Damn right. So, Asylum has got shades of...
Grey?
What? No. So
it's got shades of...
It's got shades of 50. Oh, dear God, seriously.
We rounded up from 4.
Look, if there was going to be a John Carpenter Shades of Grey, it would be Kurt Russell. He would be playing Grey, whoever he is.
Yes, Grey.
And he'd have a mullet, and he'd have a singlet top, and it would be a damn film.
Isn't Dorian Grey the...
That's a different story.
Yeah, it's a whole different story. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. But anyway, Asylum is kind of... It's got shades of Hellraiser to it. No, Hellblazer, the Constantine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's about a cop. And, it's about many cops. But
doesn't play by the rules.
He does not play by any rules.
Yeah.
Makes life hard. He keeps saying, is it my turn yet? No. It's about demons and angels. There's demons loose on Earth, and there's a cop who's got this ability to... It's called discernment in this story.
Yes.
Discernment is the ability for people to see the real nature of creatures.
Yep.
So, demons, in this case. And he's trying to catch this demon, and it's a real sort of... constant action fest of a story. He's chasing people down, driving in car chases, smashing off roads. It's full on.
It sounds awesome.
I'm enjoying it. It's actually, the main character is a guy who is a priest. He's Father Daniel Beckett. He was a soldier, now he's a priest and chaser of demons.
Was he related to Sam Beckett at all?
Oh, probably, if you go back far enough.
Excellent.
Wow.
So you'd like that.
Didn't Bruce Willis's character in Unbreakable have the ability of discernment?
Discernment is, yeah, it's not that dissimilar. Oh. Yeah, it's kind of like that, except for Bruce Willis, he had to touch them.
That's right, he did. Ooh. Too.
Not like right. That.
Sometimes when we touch,
the Willis side,
the discernity is too much. Okay, cool. Anything else?
It's pretty cool. I recommend it. Oh, look, it's not the typical.
How many Bruce
kind of
Willis would you give out of 5?
3 squints out of 5.
Excellent.
But that's only because I'm halfway through, and I want to hold off full judgment.
Right. Okay. We may get another squint.
We'll have to see.
There's a good squint and a half in it still, yeah.
Right, okay.
It's a bit of an M-rated book, though. I wouldn't recommend it to the young kids. It's got some, you know, nudity and some people losing their heads and stuff.
Wow.
It's pretty full on.
Well, this is Carpenter.
It is covered, exactly.
I think if it didn't have those things in it, you'd be kind of...
If it didn't have those things in it, has his name on the front, I'd be like, nah.
Someone's penned this and just put his name to it.
This is diluted.
Yeah.
Bring me the real stuff.
Mike.
Oh, so glad you asked.
Well, I'll go then. Stop here. I have read some banger of some books this week. It's been a plethora of great books this week. I've read the All New Hawkeye number one from Marvel.
Yep.
Amazing. I was really, really concerned about them starting Hawkeye again because I really loved
Fraction's last series book. Was quite good, wasn't it?
Right. Mm. It'd been a long time since I'd been on board with the Avengers books. You know, as much as Dean, you know, carries on about them every week, I was really, I wasn't convinced. But when I actually got Hawkeye when I was in hospital, and so when everybody bought me all the nice gift pack, that was in it, and that was the first book that I read, and I could not put it down. And then I got the second, and then I
got... because the IV got stuck around it.
Well, you know, actually my hand had seized.
We can laugh about it now.
My hand had seized. But yeah, this one's with Jeff Lemire and Raymond Perez. And it's great. The artwork is very similar to previous.
Mm.
And the storyline is great. We're telling two parallel stories to each other. One, when Hawkeye was... a child with his brother, and the other one is currently while Hawkeye and Hawkeye or Kate Bishop are on a mission together.
Right.
And so when we're telling when the story of him as a child is taking place, it's all very watercolor and very flowy and you know, nice and simple and all that type of thing. But then when we get the other story of him and Kate together on a mission, we sort of get that sort of hard, you know, sort of really crisp sort of look to it with, you know, this really not, it's not very dreamlike as you would expect. So yeah, it's great. It's a really good book. So that's Hawkeye number one, which I read, which is just full on awesome.
So babe,
why have they restarted the story?
You know, that's a really good question. I don't know. I think, look, anything's going to be possible coming up soon because we're going to have, you know, it's probably all going to start again after
Crisis of Secret Wars,
Battle mm-hmm. World. So who knows? But at this stage, I'm loving it. And I'll what do we get? 5 or 6 issues until that sort of takes place. So hopefully it just continues at that pace. The next one that I read was Southern Cross number one, which is the new one from Becky Cloonan what's his name? It'll come to me in just a sec when I look for it on my computer.
Jack.
And, you know, you're close. It's Andy Blananga. Blananga. Southern Cross is
sure. Andy Jack.
Andy Jack. Really, really. So it's about our lead character. She is going to Titan, which is a world which is about I think it's about a six-week journey. On this large ship called the Southern Cross,
mm-hmm.
Travels through space, and Titan is kind of like an ice planet. Ooh, where they mine for petroleum and stuff like that.
Titanic proportions.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And Southern Cross is and Southern Cross is a ship. During that time, we get to meet some of the passengers and crew of the Southern Cross. Just as it's about to head off on its journey to to Titan. Now, obviously, it's called Southern Cross because I'm guessing that what's going to transpire with this story, majority of it is going to happen on the actual ship itself. And it's a really interesting way of introducing characters without really anything going on. And I say that in the best possible way because there really isn't a lot going on. There's something that happens right at the end. They introduce us to what's called the gravity crystal, I think it is. That has a very interesting, something interesting is going on with that. But the thing I like about this book is that it really has a nice flow when it comes to the actual paneling in this. It's Gravity Drive is what it's called, sorry.
Gravity Drive.
Yeah, I was close. It was a crystal. So, you know,
sounds
it's
like
always,
a David Lynch film.
It's always about the crystals. It really is. But the panel in this is great. You know, some of it's nine panel paneling, just to tell the story. Some of it, when you get into when you're seeing sort of anything that's high tech, a lot of splash pages going on, when you're actually going through the levels of the actual Southern Cross, you really do feel it's kind of that feeling that you get when in Batman when he visited the Quarter of the Owls for the first time, he was going insane and the book was going around and around. Same type of feeling you get, you know, you sort of get that claustrophobic, you know, you're really moving down the page quite suddenly effect. So it's a great book, really enjoy it. And you know, I dig Becky's work anyway, so this is a great book. So another one I'd highly recommend.
So I've got two questions for you on that.
Yeah, just
before you get
sure.
So first one, as an Australian, why do you think they called it the Southern Cross?
Haven't explained it yet.
Cool.
So that's your answer. Second question.
Is it going to follow the same beats as the movie Titanic?
I don't think so.
Good.
Somehow we've got a murder mystery, and the sister has died, so she's going to Titan to get some answers and to get her to get her belongings, and so
and the cold didn't bother her anyway.
Yeah, and. and it's quite a published, it's quite a well-known story of the incident. Everybody seems to know about it on the Southern Cross as she's sort of moving her way around. People are talking about it. So, but there's a lot of mystery to it as well. You know, how did she die? What? Because not a lot of it has been explained as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bit of a murder mystery. There's a bit of a, you know, something's going on the ship. There's a bit of, you know, dodginess going on. Well, there could be. Law and Order. There's no, you know, there is no CSI going on as of yet. But you know, who knows? It's early days. It's
That's
only
good.
Issue one.
I'm just happy to hear there's going to be no Billy Zane.
Yeah. The last one, Mike, okay. Which I know that you'll be interested in because it's a tire travel book.
Ooh, tire travel.
Yeah, well, it's a time travel book.
It's really good.
It's called Eight. It's by.
Here we go.
Jack.
Raphael
Albuquerque. Albuquerque, yeah.
Huh.
We'll go with that. And
Jack Johnson.
Mike Johnson from Dark Horse Comics. It's titled 8, so it's E-I-8-H-T.
Is it enough?
8.
It definitely is enough. The great thing about this book is that we get three different colorways on it. And it's predominantly black and white with three different colorways. So the past is green, the present is purple, the future is blue, and then we sort of have this sort of orangey color, which is the meld of something else entirely. Okay.
Right.
So each time we're sort of in the meld of something that's going on, we're sort of getting that orangey color. When we're going into the future, we're seeing blue, etc., etc. So it really keeps you at the timeline of what's happening without actually having to say 2005, 2053.
Meanwhile, in 1954.
Yeah, we don't need that. If you understand the colorway, then you'll understand the book. And so what has happened is our lead character, he has crash landed on a in a different dimension, and he can't remember who he is or why he's actually there. All he knows is that he's been in some type of experimental spaceship that has propelled him to where he is now. And he has the number 8 written on his arm. And so that's where the title comes into play. And so what we see is what happens, you know, before, after, and what's going to happen in the future. With very little, you know, there's a lot going on, without really explaining too much about it.
Okay.
The premise is really good, though. And what I like about it is that it feels like a bit like if you've read Black Science, it's along that line. But at the same time, it's kind of got a Mad Max-y sort of weird vibe to it as well. But yeah, I really quite dig this book. I like the concept. It's something that I've never seen before. Explaining with multiple colors. It's something that I've seen something like with one colorway, which is the Parker series done by Darlin Cook, which is just absolutely amazing. It kind of feels a little bit like that, but this is the whole time travel thing just absolutely, throws it on a new edge. So yeah, this is great. Highly recommend it. So it's called 8, and it's by Dark Horse Comics. So that's what I've been reading this week.
That's clever.
Mike.
Now, I haven't had a chance to read anything this week.
Are we doing a cover review?
No, but having Nick on the show, I wanted to talk Batman of recent times.
I don't want to talk about Batman. All right, sure.
So, you've read the latest Batman issue where, spoiler alert, well, everyone should know by now, but Alfred becomes less of a handman.
You did mention that earlier, so yeah, they do already know that one.
Yes.
Yeah, it's poor Alfred.
Yeah, wow. What do you think of the whole Joker thing, and are you buying that he is living throughout history?
I like the way you phrase that. Am I buying that? Because I don't know. I really don't know. For everyone who's reading the book, the whole conceit is that right now the Joker is being perpetuated through time by a chemical, an element, what's it called? Dionysium. It's in his spine.
Something like that, yeah.
And so that's how every time he's died, he has died but somehow regenerated and come back.
It's easier for him to come back.
Yeah. And so it sort of explains how they've had all these stories where he did die and,
he does his make return.
Not sure where I get that. But yeah. And I like that idea. I like that there is actually, he has had this many adventures because he's done. That's it.
And then come back easier.
So I do like that. I think that's great. What I'm not so sure about is the fact that Batman bought that so quickly, because Batman is so much smarter than I am. And he's the world's greatest detective, and he's just kind of gone, this new element that doesn't exist anywhere else, and I can't find it. Sure, okay.
Are there any hieroglyphs of the Joker? Have we seen any hieroglyphs of the Joker?
Not yet.
Photographs.
There's all kinds of, yeah. There's evidence. This could be the...
someone did Photoshop of the pirate, the donut pirate this week. So
that's right. Yes, the donut pirate. That's come about.
That's right.
So you're saying we shouldn't underestimate Facebook.
That's right.
All right.
Anyway, keep going.
So the bit though that sort of made me stop and go, oh, maybe there is something going on here, because I thought it was cool and I was just happy to go with it. But then Batman went to his old friends, the Court of Owls, and said, hey, you guys have been bringing people back from the dead for years, the Talons. Are you using this stuff? And they said, well, yeah, we kind of use sort of a version of it, a home blend.
It's not great.
And I thought, oh, actually, maybe there's a thing there. Maybe Batman's just gone, I've got enough chemical evidence, I'm going to run with it.
Is that what they were using on the Talons?
The first Talon.
Talons have been pumped up with that and ginger beer or something.
Yeah, the first Talon is looking too great.
He's looking a bit ratty around the edges.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have a proper mask. He's wearing like a hood.
Yeah.
He's got blades sticking out of blades.
Gross.
Yeah,
much like the Shredder.
it's a cool...
Like, in the movie.
Mm.
Right.
Well, terrible. It was not.
That's Ginsu. That's his brother. That's his
knives
brother.
Upon knives upon knives. It's like, what?
Anyway, we
how do you get through doorways, that guy? Seriously.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of cool that they've added this element to the Joker. And if you did it to just about any other character in Batman, you'd go, no, rubbish. But with the Joker and his history, you kind of go, well, yeah, it does kind of fill in a couple of gaps.
It's always been the question mark.
Yeah, it explains an awful lot. Well, not explains, but gives an out for an awful lot of things he's done.
Okay. And I think Snyder's been quite good with his stories and everything.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a lot of interest to see, like we mentioned earlier, with Robo Batman. Where is it going? Why? And we get to see how this story plays out. So, very interesting, because apparently it ties into the whole We Are Robin thing.
And
all these kids come about as
Robo
Robin. Team Robin.
Isn't there a Robo Robin in it?
I don't think there's a Robin.
There's a Robin the Toy Wonder in DC Million, but
that's true.
That's a separate book.
But it is an interesting idea, because what do you call him? The crazy Scottish guy. What do you call him? The wrong name. I can't remember it now.
Grahame
Morrison. The other crazy Scottish. Grant Morrison had a storyline where he created three new Batmen, and the idea being that they'd identified that Batman was a guy and one day he's going to need to be replaced or helped out. So there were these three cops and they all went crazy in their own special ways and Batman took them down. And I'm wondering whether the Robo Batman is kind of the next step. It's kind of like, you know, Batman realizes sooner or later he's not up for the task, or his new friends, the Court of Owls, decide that he's not up to it and they make Rabbit Batman. He needs a better name than that, though.
Rabbit Bat. Rabbit. Rabbat.
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 Rabbat. All right, we're going to run with Rabbat.
Wow.
Rabbat. Batman.
He can pick up the villains and hold them off the edge of buildings, leaning close and just say, "What's up, Doc?" And they're going to be so confused they won't be scared anymore.
Wow. Like,
what?
Wow.
So no, I'm enjoying Batman. It's going great places. It's been a good run for Snyder and Capullo.
Yep.
Zero Year was really good.
Love the artwork.
Yeah, the artwork's fantastic. It's this really solid style all the way through.
Hopefully, you know, with Convergence coming, it's not going to destroy the title.
Well, yeah, I was reading a little about Convergence today because I was very glad to see the Bat family kind of dodged most of the changes that the old 52
which
the new 52
tends to be
in.
The way, yeah.
Well, you know, they are the Bat family.
Yeah.
With the exception of Batgirl, which I think is an important exception because they rewrote her in a way which it's not bad, but it didn't need to be done.
Mm.
Yep.
But they're talking about how with Convergence coming through, the all new 52 is going. So I don't really know what that means.
It's the only 49, apparently.
You're coming back in the books again.
Yeah. 47? 48?
40-something.
That's, yeah, so it's
46? 46? Going once, going twice.
I'll go 46, sure.
Reverse option. 45.
High 40s. High 40s, anyway. Yep.
Yeah, so it's, you know, you're right. Convergence coming through, things could change all over again.
Hmm.
Maybe Robo Batman is Tony Stark in an alternate reality. Who knows? That could be cool.
Wow.
Return of Bruce Wayne Jr.
Well, could be the return of anyone. Really, it could be Thomas Wayne Jr.
Well, we will see.
That's what you meant.
Okay. That's what I meant. Well, we will see Thomas Wayne, won't we? So, with Convergence, so they will
that
be.
That is true, yeah.
They will be together.
And will Damian still be, you know, superpowered once all this finishes?
Oh, let's hope not.
It's a nice way to get rid of those.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it's a great addition to the story.
Do you think at the moment they're kind of just like running with anything, knowing that they could.
You know,
with Convergence, they could probably just, these are things that we really wanted to do, but let's
always want to throw this out and see what sticks.
Yeah, let's see what happens and, you know, go for it there. And then, you know, it doesn't matter because we're going to get rid of it all anyway in a couple of months.
It's highly possible, but that's kind of been DC's problem since the new 52 anyway. So they've had a really tightly controlled structure and everything. So a lot of the stories kind of had great ideas in the beginnings and went nowhere.
Yeah.
That was really disappointing.
That's a shame. Yeah. I think we've talked about this before, but yeah, I mean, for me, I love the Tim Drake character, and with New 52, they've really done nothing with him.
Yeah.
It's such a shame, because he was great, and really, really good. I mean, I think Death in the Family, or no, not Death in the Family,
Death on the Family.
No, what's A Lonely Place of Dying.
Right.
Was really good. Really, really good. Great Dick Grayson story, great Tim Drake story, and everything. So, and a platform for the new Robin to come about, so... Very good, still one of my favourites.
Yeah, so I'm really hoping that when Convergence finishes doing its whatever, we end up with our characters getting a little bit more of their own character back.
That will be
too many of them got stripped back too far.
It's all gone too far.
Well, that's gone too far. Speaking of too far,
I
think it's time.
We have digressed.
Yeah.
To the point where we need to leave.
All right, I get the picture. Fine, guys. No,
see you later.
But thank you for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. It was good to talk about, man.
Yeah, no,
always a pleasure.
And John Carpenter.
But Mike, where can they find you?
You can find me at Mickey Toons all over the interwebs, and also at The Real Mickey Toons on Instagram. So check that stuff out. The stuff that I do very often.
Right. Nick, where can they find you?
I am on Twitter. I am at The Excitable Boy. If you have trouble finding me, look up Nate or Mike and you'll probably find me very shortly.
Yeah, true story. He does. He stalks us severely. You can find me at Nath Stones. Changed my Twitter handle.
Oh.
So you can find me at Nath Stones. And you can find Watcher at Watcher Show on Twitter, facebook.com/WatcherPodcast. WatcherPodcast.blogspot.com.au, and also at Watcher Show on Instagram. So if it's Watcher Batman-y,
Watch a Dick Graysoning.
Watch a carpentering.
Watch a carpentering. We want to hear about it. Thanks, everybody. And we'll see you next week for episode number 96. Thanks very much. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Yibbida yibbida. That's all, folks.
Oh, no. When is it? I'm the one saying no.